Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your care and not for calamity, to give you a future with hope. Jeremiah 29:11. We pause as we are beginning the scripture reading today to ask you to do me a favor. We are here to honor the Lord, but we're here also today to honor a young couple, Michael and Cindy Walters. And I'm going to ask Michael and Cindy to stand for just a moment, will you please? While they're standing, let me talk a little bit about them. Joyce and I have had the privilege of knowing Cindy since she first came on the scene many, many, many years ago. It's been amazing to watch these young people grow up and become old ladies. And then for them to get married and have a family. It's been my privilege through the years to perform wedding ceremonies for mamas and dads, and they became mamas and dads, and then I performed wedding ceremonies for their children. And I'm waiting now for these children to become old enough so that I can perform the wedding ceremony for them. God has called Michael and Cindy into the ministry, and they're off to a great start. We are proud of them and thankful for them. I think in terms of the fact that they are just, in essence, at the beginning. We do not know just exactly what all the Lord has in store for them, but we believe it's going to be outstanding and wonderful. And we're here today to honor the Lord and honor them. And so you're going to do that today as you make a presentation. Probably some of you already have in the baskets out there. Just an expression of love to them and be helpful for them in their ministry. Michael and Cindy, we're thankful for you. Thank you so very much. You may be seated. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. Psalm 91:11. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Psalm 91:11. Psalm 139:14. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. Psalm 119:73. Thy hands made me and fashioned me. Psalm 119:73. Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to be occupied with thy name. Psalm 86:11. And 1 Samuel 16:7. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of James, chapter 4, verse 14. James, chapter 4, verse 14. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today. James chapter 4, verse 14 is on the screen before you. It's also on the back of today's bulletin. If you will, please look at that verse of Scripture, a magnificent verse. James chapter 4, verse 14. It says, whereas you do not know what shall be tomorrow, for what is your life? For you are a vapor, appearing for little, indeed thereafter indeed disappearing. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin the scripture reading and the study for this morning. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice in the fact that we can come again to open our hearts and minds to your wonderful word. We realize that life on this earth is extremely short. As we think in terms of a comparison of 70, 80, 90 years to 1,000 or 1,000,000 or 1,000,000,000 years. This causes us to realize that while we're here, which is such a short time, we are to focus our minds upon those things which are significant, important, things that are very, very necessary in life. And that's why we're here again this morning, is to turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and focus our minds upon eternal truths. We pray that we will see the importance of studying and growing and advancing spiritually as we live every day. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We begin our reading with James chapter 4, 13. And read through the end of the chapter. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. James chapter 4, verse 14. If yet you do not know what your life will be like, you are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. James 4:15, indeed, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. If you'll look at the verse that's on the screen today, you will see that we are first of all going to exegete, which simply means that we'll take just a few moments to point out some interesting things about some words in James 4 and verse 14. The very first word is to be translated whereas or who. The second word in the verse, if you're looking at the King James or if you're looking at the Greek translation, you will see that it is a Greek adverb. It's a strong negative adverb, which is not. Whereas, not. The third word in the first line there, you will see, it is the Greek word epistema. E-P-I-S-T-A-M-A-I. I'm going to spend just a few moments on that word and ask you, if you will, to write some things out by the side of it. We translate it, do not know. But actually the word means to fix one's thoughts on. It emphasizes to be acquainted with, to have an understanding of. And if you look carefully at this word, you will discover that the way that it is used is that it is saying, we do not know. We keep on not knowing. That's the reason why it's a present tense. The passive voice says we are the recipients of not knowing. And the indicative mood is the mood of reality. This is saying that you and I do not have any assurance whatsoever of what is going to happen tomorrow. That's the reason why it says, whereas you do not know what shall be tomorrow. For what is your life? You are a vapor appearing for a little, indeed thereafter disappearing. If you'll notice, the second part of the verse says, for what is your life? I've analyzed these words very carefully and am able to see that there's an emphasis here upon the believer and the believers at that time not fully understanding what the meaning was of life was all about. Because these individuals were involved in various types of business. James addresses the issue of leaving God out of our plans. Here we have an emphasis upon businessmen in their pride, and they did not want to acknowledge that God had any part in their plans for the future. That's the reason why they were saying, we're going to go to a certain city, we're going to establish our business, and we're going to stay there a year, and then we're going to move on to some other place. The Jews, as we all know, were great businessmen during this period of time. They had great opportunities in their business. This was the age of the founding of cities. So the founders were looking for citizens to fill their cities and would offer free citizenship to these Jewish merchants to get their business and to make money. So James has come on the scene now and gives us a picture of a couple of businessmen looking at a map, pointing to a location, and planning to go there for a year or so to make their fortune. While it is necessary, I believe, for us to make plans for the future, it is wrong if we don't include God in our plans. It takes careful planning to make a business work, as these businessmen were doing, but we must not take it for granted that there will be a tomorrow or a next year, unless God in His wisdom permits this to happen. If God is going to be at the center of your life and mine, then He needs to be in the center of our plans as we live each day. James tells us here in verse 14 that we cannot be sure or know with certainty what tomorrow will bring to our lives and to the lives of others. However, the Scripture does reveal that we can know with certainty that plans that man makes are always tentative. Our plans are not our own. Our time is not our own. Our life is not our own. That's the reason why when we go back to the Old Testament, we find in Job, the 14th chapter, the 5th verse, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Interesting, isn't it? Let me read it again. Job chapter 14, verse 5. Seeing that our days are determined, the number of our months are with the Lord, thou hast appointed his bounds, and you and I cannot overlook them. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That's Proverbs 27, 1. This means, I believe, that we should take full advantage of today and the opportunity that God gives us each and every day. Putting off until tomorrow has robbed the world of Christian deeds and the church of spiritual gifts. Life is so short to waste away fighting over things that won't matter in eternity. We need to make the most of each day, no doubt about it, and get our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. We also need to learn that there is no need to be overly upset or worried about tomorrow, since we're not sure what tomorrow is going to bring. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Matthew 6 and verse 34. This is an interesting passage of Scripture we have before us today. What I'm trying to do in these brief moments that we have, and I want you to know that we're going to be moving along in this verse. Then we're going to take a 10-minute break, and I'm going to rush you back into here. And so we're going to continue in our study. So we'll be prepared for all the activities that await us in relationship to honoring this fine couple and having our church-wide covered dish dinner. The name John Guild is not a name that probably is familiar to you. He came on the scene to preach in the same church as did Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Only he came on the scene about 100 years later than Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Most of the people today have never heard of this great man, John Guild. Unfortunate, however, since this man has presented priceless gems of God's Word, information that's not found anywhere else except in the ancient writings. He comes on the scene to give us some information about James chapter 4, verse 14. He gives us the first part of the verse, whereas you know not what shall be on the tomorrow. He says, Whether there will be a Mara for them in that day or for us in our day or not, whether they should still be alive tomorrow, and if they should, they knew not what Mara would bring forth or what things would happen which might prevent their intended journey and success. No man can secure a day. No man can secure an hour. No man can secure a moment, and much less a year of continuance in this life. Nor can he foresee what will befall him today or tomorrow. Therefore, it is great stupidity to determine on this and the other without the leave of God, in whom he lives, moves, and has his being, and by whose providence all events are governed and are directed. I like what he's saying here. He's using this particular part of verse, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. He goes on to say, the passage continues, for what is your life? Of what kind of a nature is your life? What assurance can be had of continuance of your life? By what may all of this be expressed? Or to what may it be compared? Then he says, look at the rest of the verse. It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Vanishes away, Dr. John Gill says, which rises vapor out of the earth or water and expires almost as soon as it exists. At least continues but a very short time and is very weak and fleeting and carried about here and there and soon returns from whence it came. The illusion is to the breath of man, which is in his nostrils, and who is not to be accounted of or depended on. What I discovered is, when I looked at this word in this Greek verse, I found out that the word vapor there, if you look at that second line on the back of your bulletin, it says, what shall be tomorrow? Well, really, what shall be is not in the original text. What is definitely there, but it's down in the verse a little bit later. The second part of the verse, as you will see, two words, the tomorrow. Only two words. So we have who, not, you do not know, tomorrow. And then it says, with the word what is your life? What is your life? You and I are sitting in this auditorium, standing here this morning before you, and we're breathing. We're inhaling and exhaling. And now that I've called that to your attention, you're going to be thinking about inhaling and exhaling. What is your life? It says here, it's a mist. It's a vapor. The Greek word that is used here is atmis. Interesting word. All kinds of little words come from this. Another little word that comes from this is atomos. If I could just explain to you that that is the word from which we get our English word atom. It cannot be divided. What is mist? What is vapor? It's been described as fog. It's been described as haze. It's been described as smoke. It's been described as breath. It's been described as fumes. There are many synonyms describing this word. Oh, what's amazing is that there are verses of Scripture that talk about how fleeting life is. Job 7:7 says, remember that my life is but breath. My eye will not see again good. That's Job 7:7. Let me remind you of some other verses that are very important here. Psalm 39:5. Behold, you have made my days as hand spans, and my lifetime as nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is simply a mere breath. Man at his best, mankind, men, women, boys and girls, at the best, mere breath. Well, I've had very interesting time talking about this one because I have discussed it. You're aware of the fact that sometimes I have difficulty in pronouncing words. I try to get the words correctly, and then I mess up when I come back to them. And I find myself finding what the true pronunciation is. I started to say pronunciation is so that you'll understand that I don't know how to pronounce some words at times. Some of you caught that. But anyway, last Wednesday night, I referred back to a subject, and I'll have to let you understand how things are at our house. My wife helps me. We discuss words, and we get them pronounced correctly, and then I come up here and mispronounce them. And so, last Wednesday night, I made a reference to a subject, and then when we listened to the message again, I heard her sitting over there. Now listen, we sometimes listen to my messages. It's rather difficult for me to do this, but she does not hear it on Wednesday night. So sometime between Wednesday night and Sunday morning, we hear again the Wednesday night message. And I sit there and listen to it. And I knew this was going to happen because I knew I'd not pronounced properly the word. And there she sat over there, and there I sat over here, and here we are, my voice is coming on, and I mispronounced that word, and I hear her go, I could see. So anyway, we got into a discussion on this particular verse, and there she was. We were down at Queen Bee's house. She's 93 years of age. I'm telling you, anyone who lives that long ought to be influenced by us. But anyway, there we were. We were discussing this verse of Scripture, Psalm 39:5, and you'll remember this when I made all this rigmarole about it. Behold, you have made my days, and you notice I said a moment ago, handspans. That's not what the word is. It's the word handbreadths. Now, I was pronouncing that, handbreadths. And my wife was telling me how to pronounce it. And so we rehearsed it in Queen Bee's presence over and over again. And I would say it, and she'd say, no, it's, and then she'd give me. Okay, are you looking at Psalm 39, verse 5? I want you to get this. You're not going to be able to pronounce it correctly because I'm not going to pronounce it correctly for you. But I want you to know that the word is spelled H-A-N-D. B-R-E-A-D-T-H-S. What is it? It's the measurement of your hand. It's a hand span. It has been described as linear measurement, 2.5 to 4 inches. It's the width of the palm of your hand. It's the width of the palm of your hand. We got into a big discussion about that. Now, I'm aware of the fact that some of you do not carry a yardstick with you or a ruler with you when you're out measuring, and you use your hand spans. Someone said a horse stands 20 hands. What does that mean? You multiply 20 times about 4 inches. That equals 80 inches. You divide it by 12. And this horse is about 6.5 feet tall. Someone may correct me on that, and if you do, that's okay too. I'm trying to get something over to you. I'm trying to let you see that Psalm 39:5 says, you have made my days as hand spans, and my lifetime as nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. I'm trying to let you see that life is a vapor. Life is short. What is your life? We're not going to be here long at the longest. Where are we putting our emphasis? Psalm 78:39 is the next verse. Thus he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and does not return. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you seen the wind? No. You see the results of the wind, but you do not see the wind. We talk about John chapter 3. We told our children about John chapter 3 when they were little girls. We'd take them outside and say, "Do you see the wind?" And they'd look and they'd jump around out there trying to see the wind. They wouldn't see the wind, but they could see the leaves moving. They could see the results of the wind. We're talking about your life. Psalm 78:39 says, "A wind that passes and does not return." That's the way your life is. Psalm 102, verse 3. "For my days have been consumed in smoke. My bones have been scorched like a hearth." Psalm 144, verse 4. "Man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow." Psalm 144, 4. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. "Do not boast about tomorrow. You do not know what a day may bring forth." That's Proverbs 27, 1. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22 says, "Stop regarding man whose breath of life is in his nostrils. For why should he be esteemed?" Whereas you do not know, the scripture says, tomorrow. What is your life? You're a vapor. You're a mist. You're a fog. You're a haze. You're smoke. You're breath. You're fumes. Appearing for a little while. Let me stop you for a few moments. My, this is so fantastic. You're appearing for a little while. That word appearing there means caused to shine. It means to bring into light. It means to appear. It simply means that God, listen to this, God has brought you, I'm talking about you, on the scene. When I look at this verse, when I look at this word, it says, God has seen fit to bring you personally on the scene. He's brought you into light. He's brought you on the earth at a specific time for a specific purpose. What is your life? It's a vapor. It's a mist. It's not going to be here long, at the longest. Then what are you doing in life? What is your concept about life? What are you thinking in terms of what would happen today, tomorrow, if it should be the end for you? And here's what I discovered. Let me stop with you and rejoice. It says, appearing. And I notice the kind of verb it is. It's a present tense. It means that every moment that I'm breathing, God has a purpose for my breathing. God has a purpose for you still being alive, or you wouldn't be here this morning. That's present tense. But let me stop again and let you see how important this is. It's a middle voice. You are breathing. God is giving you the breath of life. And it's to your advantage to realize that God is the one who's making your life possible every moment. He's causing you to shine. He's bringing you into the light every single day. And you have to understand that you're appearing on this earth for just a little while. A little while. Indeed, thereafter, it says, disappearing. And I don't want to take too much time here, even though I love to do this. I want you to see that that last verb in this verse says disappearing. It means to snatch out of sight. It means to put out of view. It means to cause to vanish away. And it's a passive voice which says that there's coming a point of time when God is going to move you and me out of this earth. Christianity is distinctively the message of redemption. Christianity gives the death of the Lord Jesus Christ first place in its gospel message. When I think in terms of my many years in the ministry, and when I think in terms of what's possible for Michael and Cindy and their family for the years to come, I understand that their responsibility is to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's absolutely no hope for the salvation of man's soul apart from the total work of Jesus Christ, the world's Redeemer. Some years ago, and with this I have to let you see, Parliament of Religions were being held in Chicago in connection with the World's Fair. At that Parliament, the great ethic faiths of the world were being presented. They had different individuals there. It was interesting indeed. Someone representing Buddhism, someone representing Confucianism, someone representing Hinduism, someone representing Mohammedism. And then there was Dr. George Cook of Boston, who had been chosen to represent Christianity. He stood to speak. He began by saying, and I want to quote from him, "Here is Lady Macbeth's hand, stained with the foul murder of King Duncan. See her as she walks the halls and the corridors of her palatial home, stopping and crying out, 'Out, I say, out, I say.' Will these hands ever be clean?" Dr. Cook turned to those who were seated before him. He shocked them with this question: "Can any of you who are so anxious to propagate your religious systems offer any cleansing efficacy for the sin and guilt of Lady Macbeth's crime?" An impressive silence was manifested by everyone there. We know that Christ offered himself without spot to God, and he alone can purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. I'm here to tell you that that's the message that Michael Walters will have if God gives him 10 years or 20 years or 30 years or 50 years or 60 like myself or more. God has for him a message, and that message is to present to the world the only thing that will save mankind, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. What is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little while, then it vanishes away. What's really important? We're going to talk about that again in 10 minutes. Just 10 minutes, please. Don't let me have to cry out for you. In 10 minutes, we'll be back here and I'll continue where I'm leaving off, right here. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Thank you, Father, for this day and the challenge of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.